We don't have time to go into all the things that you, of course, promoted, but I'd like to bring up again that as a member of the Public Works Committee, you felt almost obligated to promote Robert Kerr's goal by guiding through Congress.
Yes, absolutely.
That was one of your first things that you wanted to do.
I got on the Public Works Committee because of that.
And it became known then as the McClellan-Kerr Arkansas River Navigation System.
Lyndon Johnson spoke in a kind of an embarrassing way. He said, Bob Kerr is looking down from heaven at us. We got to finish that project. One day I had lunch with some people, including Abe Ribicoff of Connecticut. He was a senator from Connecticut. He said to me, whatever happened to that crazy idea Bob Kerr had to make the Arkansas River navigable up to Tulsa? And I said, well, it's damn near completed. So I did that, and then I went on the Finance Committee, which was really important. But John McClellan, John, you know, it was kind of like Lyndon Johnson. He sort of thought I was going to be a Bob Kerr. So he asked for me to go on his committee. It was called then Government Operations. It's now called Governmental Affairs. He told me, and this is true, he said every senator who became president has been on this committee. I went on that committee at his request, and he got me assigned to it. And I was on the subcommittee with Robert Kennedy of what had been the old McCarthy Committee, the Senate Permanent Investigative Subcommittee. Then I dreamed up one day while I was presiding, having a subcommittee of my own. So I got John to name a new subcommittee. I don't think anybody had ever done that the first time around. I was the chairman of the Senate Subcommittee on Government Research. John and I later fell out. He thought that these riots in the black sections were almost like a communist plot and that they were all planned. We held hearings in his committee on the riots. At the same time, I got Johnson to appoint the Kerner Commission, where we had a wholly different idea about what had happened and why.
You were finishing the term of Robert Kerr is really what
right.
you were doing. So then in 1966, you ran and you were reelected when you were opposed by the Oklahoma City Attorney, Pat Patterson.
Yeah. By then, the Vietnam War was becoming more unpopular, and Johnson was not as popular as he had been 2 years earlier. So Patterson made his campaign primarily on opposition to Johnson. He called me Little Lyndon from Lawton. And then he had a really effective radio ad that the Republican National Committee produced and paid for. A little girl's voice, like a third grade girl, maybe. She's reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then you hear in the background a siren. The siren gets louder and louder and then breaks. The man's voice says, stop. Fred Harris will not allow our children to pray in the schools. Everett Dirksen was a Republican leader in the Senate, and in my first 2 years in the Senate, he made us vote 9 times, I believe it was, on a constitutional amendment to allow prescribed prayer in schools. And that did cause me a lot of trouble. If Patterson had been a better candidate, I think I'd have had a lot more trouble.
How did you attack that?
Not very well. For example, I remember down at Wynnewood one time, and they had a big town meeting, and there's an old guy, cowboy-looking guy in the back, stood up, and he said, Fred, why won't you let our kids pray in the schools? I started out to saying about, you know, the First Amendment and separation of church and state and, you know, established religion. Before I got halfway into that, he said, but don't you believe in majority rule? And I said, well, yes, I believe in majority rule. And you know what I was going to say? The Bill of Rights is a limit on what the majority can do. But I didn't get that far. I said, well, sure, I believe in majority rights. He said, well, a majority of us want our kids to be able to pray in the schools. So I never did have a good answer to it, but later I saw an ad by Lee Metcalf in Montana. It starts out with a tight shot of the Bible, and there's a voice reading it. We don't know who the voice is, but we can read the Bible too. It says, when you pray, pray to your Heavenly Father in secret. The shot's getting wider all the time. Then suddenly we see that it is Lee Metcalf who's reading this. He looks into the camera and he says, that kind of prayer has never been prohibited. What did I think of that?
Didn't you send out a letter, though, declaring your belief in the separation of church and state?
Yeah. And in those days, for a little while there, the Oklahoma Baptist Convention was against allowing prescribed prayer. But they later changed on that. But the issue never has gone away, as you know. When I ran for the Senate, I thought I was running really for an 8-year term. I thought that winning, the effect of that and the organization would hold over for the full term, and that's what really happened. If Bellman had run against me that time, it would have been a tough one. But he waited the next time and 2 years later ran against Monroney and beat him.
You remained a firm supporter of LBJ's Great Society programs.
I was. I liked him. Johnson was a terribly complex character and a lot of things I didn't like, and he and I eventually fell out toward the end when I turned against the Vietnam War. Also, the Kerner Commission, which I'd gotten him to appoint, he thought did not give him sufficient commendation for what he'd done in regard to poverty and race. But we reconciled at the last, and after he went out of office, too.
As you were becoming progressive, liberal, the state was not.
That's right.
There was a big chasm then between the state and you near the end.
That's right.
Is that what caused you to decide not to run for the Senate again?
No, I wanted to run for president. There was an Associated Press poll which showed that I would have won, and I think I would have, but I watched Bill Fulbright. Fulbright was a neighboring senator in Arkansas. He ran for re-election. Fulbright had in Washington a very urbane internationalist kind of image, but when he got down home, he would put on these galluses and flowery tie, shaking hands. He took off from the Senate for damn near a year and just spent all that time in Arkansas, shaving his, I say shaving his opinion, but actually I don't think he really was for civil rights, for example. He always voted against it, but down home he was even more outspoken on such things. And I thought to myself, do I want to go through that? Am I going to be shaving my positions and so forth? And I go through all that, and what's the outcome? I'm in the Senate. Well, hell, I've already been in the Senate. So I decided, sort of up or out, as Alan Cromley put it for me.